Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah for the rain that refreshes everything, even our spirits. So we were going to start the service this morning by singing number 10 out of Sing the Journey, Spirit Working in Creation. Please stand if you can and join in the singing. Number 10, Sing the Journey.
I think sometimes when we come here on a Sunday morning, we don't have that opportunity to actually see who's worshiping here in this place together. And thank you for, in whatever way you feel comfortable, saying greeting people around you this morning. So good morning and welcome to this time of worship together. And we're at our longest daylight hours of the year kind of days, and it's the green and growing time that surrounds us, and it's really evident right now. We're grateful for the moisture so far, for flowers that are blooming, for crops that are growing, and we're grateful for the sunshine and sometimes for the wind. And as you may know, the Kite Festival, well, yesterday and today, and I think they were quite grateful for the wind to do what those kites needed to do. And as we take time away from our usual activities this morning, may our time together help prepare us for the week ahead. I always find when we start singing that I realize I have not sung all week, for sure. And, or not for sure, but usually I haven't. So it takes me a minute to kind of get, I guess, in the spirit of what we're doing here with singing. So I don't know if your voices are like mine, but we have to prime ourselves with that first song as we gather together. May you feel the hope that comes with this season that we have right now. May you experience the love of God in some way this morning. Once again, welcome to each of you, guests, if there are any guests, regular attenders, and those who are listening now or in the future. My hope is that your lives will be richer from having been here this morning. Let's together worship. I'm going to invite you to the call to worship as it is printed in your bulletin this morning. And you'll notice that it doesn't continue with saying people and leader, but just follow the dark and light print in there. We gather this day, stranger and friend.
No man alone.
All loved by God.
We gather to worship.
To offer concern and joy.
To be reminded of love as we have been loved.
Come, you who thirst for grace.
Come, you who hunger for justice.
Come, you who are a stranger in a strange land.
Come, for all are welcome in this space.
A space filled with silence. A space filled with song.
Some are seeking solace, some overflowing with joy.
We come together as one people.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us worship God together. Let's pray. God, as we prepare to worship today, we ask that you guide our thoughts, slow down our minds. May we create some space away from our weekly or daily happenings to focus more fully on our spiritual direction. May we be open to the nudging we feel and be open to see or hear answers to our questions. May your blessing be on our time together. In your name we pray. Amen.
We have two familiar hymns to sing now. The first one is For the Beauty of the Earth, and we haven't sung this for a long time. We are going to have the women sing verse 2, For the Beauty of Each Hour, and the men will sing verse 4, For the Joy of Human Love. I'll remind you when you get there. Okay, please stand if you can, please.
Oh,
I'll now get you to turn to number 154. This is My Father's World. And it is Father's Day, so this father, of course, is our Heavenly Father, but somewhat a nod to our dads out there. I was just going to say that a lot of these older hymns have memories with them, and you're probably flickering through your mind as you sing them. And this one was one that was used for explorers in the Explorer and CGIT. And every time I get to, is it Rustling Grass? Have I got the right hymn? I become an adolescent again. I want to do all the hissing. Anyway, number 154, This Is My Father's World.
So this is Father's Day, and as I was planning this worship service, I wondered what, if anything, would or should I say about this day. Lois, in her email early in the week, said she would not be focusing on it, but I decided to sneak in something here. So Bart and I, like many of you, have only distant memories of our own fathers, and very few of you even knew our fathers. Bus or George or Bus Jarrett passed away 23 years ago, and my dad, Jake Neufeld, passed away 13 years ago. Our dads functioned very differently from each other, and they made different work and life choices, so they were, and lived in totally different parts of this province. They had different strengths and weaknesses as well. They had one opportunity to meet each other, and that was at our wedding. Not everything about anyone's dad can be put on a Hallmark greeting card. There's a lot of things you could say about your own fathers. They, as you here today, are and were humans filling the role as best they know or knew how. Bart will join me in this litany I've chosen to share with you today. We'll try to be clear. God of love, Today we ask your blessing on all who have taken on the role of being a father.
Bless new fathers and wise grandfathers. Bless loving uncles and caring fathers of friends.
Bless fathers who wait the birth of their child with joy. Bless men who did not expect or want to become fathers.
Bless men who chose to embrace fatherhood through adoption or foster parenting, step parenting, or single parenthood. Bless men still waiting and hoping to become fathers.
Bless fathers whose work takes them away from their children. Bless fathers who work with their children.
Bless fathers whose lives are shaped by war, poverty, or violence. Bless fathers who work for peace, freedom, and justice.
Bless teachers and mentors who serve as father figures. Bless leaders who lead as loving parents.
Bless men who are separated from their children by force or choice. Bless families without fathers and families whose fathers have chosen to be absent.
Bless fathers who have lost a child. Bless children who have lost their father.
Bless all whose fathers were loving. Bless all whose fathers failed to meet their needs for love.
Bless all who celebrate today. Bless all who struggle today. Together we pray. Amen.
So if you are noticing in your bulletin, we have a new line, and the ushers are standing there at attention. I would invite you to come forward. Someone quickly ran to add their offering for blessing. You know, in the past, we passed the plate around, and we haven't done that for some time, but to recognize and to remind ourselves that offering and that giving is a part of our worship. It's not just an add-on, it's not just a necessity. This is an act of worship. And so we will try to continue in this hopefully new tradition of blessing, purposefully blessing the offering. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all of the things that you have showered down upon us. Thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to give back to you. You don't scorn our gifts. You don't say it's too small. Everything that we offer to you, we ask for your blessing upon it. What we have here today, we pray that you would give us wisdom in the use and disbursement of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. This is our time of opportunities and sharing. Let's see what kind of opportunities we have. If you look in your bulletin, nothing on the back. It's getting a little bit scarce now because summer is coming up. Everybody has their own plans and intentions. And you know already that service starts at 10. Good for you for all making it here on time. You know, this is like daylight savings time. And Saskatchewan, nobody is paying any attention to the changing of clocks. So I thought maybe there will be people who come at 10:30 and we will all chortle. But no, none of that. So next Sunday, we have an opportunity for potluck. Larry Epp will be speaking. Larry and Denise are happy to be here and to join us in the potluck after the service. So don't eat too much breakfast. You can pretend that after the service, it's still just breakfast or brunch or whatever you need to do to pretend as things shift around. You'll see this same prayer request. We have opportunities to continue to pray for the Ukraine and Russia and what all of that means. the very bottom there, you see an opportunity for coffee time, in quotation marks, because some people will say, I don't drink coffee. Well, coffee time, the time to enjoy getting together, standing around, holding a cup, drinking whatever you want to drink, eating what you want to eat. There will be cookies, there will be baking if anybody bakes, and it will be available just in the back there, 9:45. So it might be more difficult for us to start at 10 if we have coffee and cookies back there. Might have to have it on a rope and pull it in by 10 o'clock, pull it to the front, and then everybody will come in. I don't know. That was a joke. So, thank you. It's pretty sad when you have to say that was a joke. But if you have something that you would like to share with this crew, please, this is your opportunity. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our God and you've made yourself known to us. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that continues to teach us and remind us and open our hearts to your presence in our lives and in this world, your world. Thank you that you have granted us the opportunity to care for this world. Help us to keep doing that conscientiously and carefully and willing to change some of our selfish practices. We pray that you would forgive us where we fall short of your ideal, where we don't love our brother and sister the way that you would have us love each other. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart full of willingness to change as we follow your direction. Thank you that you have given us this opportunity, in spite of who we know we are, to still come before you with confidence, with full assurance that you are listening, that your grace is being poured out on us. And so we bring our requests and our concerns before you, thanking you for the beauty of this creation and all of the experiences that we have enjoyed this week. Thank you for hearing the prayers that we raised last Sunday and the answers that we have experienced throughout this week. And because we experience these answers, it gives us more and more courage to keep bringing our issues to you. All of these who have raised their requests, we pray for them. We ask that you would guard over and guide all of the procedures that are about to occur. We pray for continued health and assurance of your presence. Our bodies are not perfect. Well, I shouldn't say that to you. You have created us, and we know that we are mortal. Help us to recognize that. But even though our outer bodies are fading away, our inner spirit is being transformed and renewed day by day. And we pray that you continue to encourage us in this way, recognizing the difference and the different directions our body is going. We pray for those who have lost loved ones this week. Support and sustain them and help us to do the same. We pray for all of the other churches in Swift Current. And we especially remember the Catholic Church today. And we also raise Eyebrow Mennonite to you and their leaders. We ask that you direct them and guide them in their ministry. We pray for peace in the world, especially in the Ukraine. You have granted authority where it is. We don't know why, and we think that this authority is being abused. And we pray that you would bring peace, peace in our world, in our time, and teach us how to be participants in that. We could pray all day. And we pray that you would remind us to do that. And so, as a reminder, we also pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'd ask you now to turn in your hymn book to number 328, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. And we are going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and then hop to 6. And I'll remind you when you get there. Number 328, please stand if you can.
I'd invite you to turn together with me in your Bibles to the Old Testament passage that's listed here. I'm going to use both of the scripture passages in the message, but for scripture reading, let's only look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 15. This will be a familiar passage to some of you. I think quite a few, actually. 1 Kings 19, 1 to 15. Starts in a very strange place. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram." That's as far as we'll go this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to prepare for a later reference, you can flip over to Revelation. The second passage that I'll be referring to is Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. And I've used the title, Knee-Jerk Reaction. You might not see a connection here at all, but I hope we will get there in short order. I was visiting someone in the hospital, and they were talking about all of these visits by nurses. They come into your room, and they're ready to take your blood. Anyone who's been in the hospital or who has had tests lately, that's the favorite thing for nurses and doctors to do. Take your blood. And you feel like a pincushion. Always, Val is shaking her head. I have already stepped on her toes. It happens frequently, let's say that. And it's probably not their favorite thing to do. It seems like they do it a lot. And if they can't find a vein, like they usually go in the arm, right? Or in the hand. And we were talking about how painful it is when they try to find a vein in the hand. If they can't find a vein, now here is where I learned something new. Apparently, they will go to the foot to try and find a vein there. And this patient said, oh yes, this had happened to her one time previously, and the reaction was that she had actually kicked off the glasses of the nurse who was trying to get the vein. Obviously not on purpose. That's why I say a knee-jerk reaction. She didn't plan to kick off the glasses of the nurse. She didn't plan to hurt anybody, and the nurse wasn't trying to hurt her. However, her body just reacted or responded. And we know what that's like physically. However, I would like for us to examine our own knee-jerk reactions when it comes to idols. When it comes to idols, and you might think, well, I haven't had much experience with idols lately. And the reason I bring it up is because it is throughout all of the Old Testament and definitely into the New Testament, believers are exhorted not to worship idols. And this is a block. This is the worst sin that a believer can indulge in. We all have our list of sins that we think are worse than others, especially when we're seeing it in other people. But idolatry is the worst because we are worshiping something that is not God. I thought to myself, what idols do we have today? What idols are we worshiping? We come to this church and we worship God. We sing songs and we read the Bible. We are not worshiping idols. However, it would do us some good, I think, to look and see if there aren't some idols that we do, in fact, worship. What is an idol today and here? In this century, in this time, in this place, in this community, what are our idols? I want to read you a little bit of possibilities. An idol can be anything you love, treasure, prioritize, identify with, or look to for need fulfillment outside of God. Those descriptors really helped me a lot. The things we love or treasure or prioritize or identify with or look to for need fulfillment outside of God, they can be acting as an idol. When something or someone becomes more important to us than God. When something or someone becomes more important to us than God. These are the things that may be or may become our idols. So think about that. Allow that to settle with you. And I would like to organize the way I'm going to address this under the heading of American Idol. That should be quite familiar to most of us. If we don't watch the television show, that's one thing, but we will have heard about it and how famous it has been for how many years. Well, American Idol, and American is not only United States of America, let's be real. Canada is together, lumped together in this America. So on the American Idol, there are contestants who compete to be the idol. So we'll look at a few things that are competing to be the idol in our lives. So they're the contestants. Then there are the judges and the finale, of course. The end, when it all wraps up together and see how it all pans out. So let's look at the contestants first of all. We won't spend too much time because I believe that we all have our own different idols. And perhaps at one point we have one idol and then we turn away from that and then we come to a different idol at different stages in our lives. So here are some possible contestants for us. Identity. Our own identity could become our idol. Money or material things, jobs or status, physical appearance, entertainment, sex, comfort, phones or technology, family or children, influence, or fame. And this is not a definitive list, but this is just to get us thinking about the things that maybe in our lives we are identifying with or leaning on or looking to for some kind of need fulfillment outside of God. Last weekend, some of you noticed that I left church a little bit early. I needed to get to Bow Island by 1:30. Yeah, so you can check all of the things you want to check, but that was the requirement. I needed to attend a bridal shower for my niece. And so I went, and we had a wonderful time, and both of my sisters were there. So our nieces, two aunties and the mother, of course, together at this bridal shower. Wonderful time. Until one sister whispered in my ear, and she told me that the other sister had said she could tell that my dress was bought at a secondhand store. Well, you think, oh, what's that? Who cares? Big deal. It's your sister. You know what she's like. On and on. Yes, all of those things, they are true. That statement was with me throughout this entire week and will continue with me. I wonder to myself, has something there become an idol for me? Sometimes our idols are pointed out, or we are alerted to the presence of an idol by other people. And we don't call it an idol. You know what we call it now? We call them buttons. Much nicer, easier, more pleasant. Buttons are fine until someone pushes yours. Till someone pushes your buttons, and then you wonder, why did I react so strongly to that? Why did that bother me so much? Why is that a thing for me? Doesn't affect anybody else. So there we come to our judges. And sometimes our judges, the judges of our idols, the things that we have lifted to a higher status, they will push our buttons unbeknownst to them. And then it irks us, it bothers us. And what has happened here in the story of 1 Kings? Let's just renew our memories of this story, because usually this story is used as the beautiful example of Elijah recognizing God, and that God's presence is not in big wind and noise, but in sheer silence. And Elijah recognized the presence of God. However, this story began before the reading that I started with. Chapter 19, verse 1, isn't the beginning of the story. However, I would venture to say here, where it says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. So Elijah is one of the judges here. Elijah was throwing down the idols that the people had started to prop up. Elijah is the most obvious one here as the judge. However, Ahab and Jezebel are also judges. Ahab had met Elijah, and Ahab said to Elijah, "Oh, are you the one who is bothering all of Israel?" Oh, he had a really good term here. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" And our judges, or our prophets, the ones who will recognize our idols, will feel like troublers to us. So if there is someone who is troubling you, don't look at them as an antagonist. Look to yourself and say, is there a reason that this person or their comments troubles me so much? Ahab said, "Oh, is it you, you troubler of Israel?" That's how Ahab saw Elijah. However, another one of the judges was Jezebel. And Ahab went and told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Isn't that hilarious? I couldn't go anywhere after I read that verse, and I thought, oh, I see and I hear that all the time. All the time. Where the wife will go and report to the husband, or the husband will experience something and come back and report to the wife, or the partner, or the best friend, or whomever you are in contact with and you feel comfortable talking about things with. And sometimes those very conversations that you think this is in our own home, this is conversation of a married couple or whatever, we don't realize that this is exposing some of our idolatry. And perhaps our own marriage partner or partner has become an idol to us. I look to them for approval, for confirmation. Oh, yes, you are good. You're good. Oh, all of those other people, they are terrible. They're mean. They're bad. When really this is exposing our needs, the felt needs that we are trying to fulfill in other things than God. Even our marriage partners or our partners in life can be our judges. How about the judge of the Spirit of God as a judge? If you have your Bibles open and you want to flip to Revelation chapter 2, and once I read it, you'll recognize why I've connected these two things. Revelation 2, verse 18, and the angel of the church in Thyatira wrote, "These are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first. Take courage. I know who you are." And this is the Spirit of God speaking to the churches. The Spirit of God is also our judge. The Spirit of God being poured out into our lives, we've been talking about it for the last number of weeks. The Spirit poured out into our lives. Do we hear that Spirit speaking to us in our idolatry? Or has our time been taken away by other things that are so much more important? We don't have time to listen to the Spirit of God. Other things are very loud. We can't hear the Spirit of God. Or maybe we don't value the voice of the Spirit because these other things have drowned out the Spirit of God. But the Spirit says, "I know you. I recognize your love, faith, service, patient, endurance, all of these things. I know." Verse 20, "But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel." There we have Jezebel. Again, this woman, figuratively speaking, this Jezebel who says, "Worship these idols. These things are important." Jezebel of the Old Testament, Jezebel of Elijah's time, was the one encouraging people, "Come on, fall down and worship these idols. These are the things that are important other than God. Don't waste your time with all this religious stuff. You don't need to do that." And so those who tolerate that kind of attitude, maybe not spoken, but expected, you are tolerating this. Who calls herself a prophet is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols, to follow after these idols. Remember, we have to go back and say to ourselves, now what are my idols? Where am I falling down? I gave her time to repent. And here is the finale. Here is the finale of American Idol. We have the contestants. They're all vying for our attention. They're appealing. They make us feel good. We have the judges, Elijah, the prophet, Jezebel saying, no, follow what I'm offering to you. Ahab, who is running for support to his wife. The Spirit of God reminding, urging, longing for us. And in the finale, we have a choice. And we have time. I gave her time to repent. But she refuses to repent. I gave her time, but she refuses to repent. We have a choice to make, constantly choosing. Are we going to continue in this pattern when it comes to our attention and say, "No, I don't want to repent of that. I'm fine with this lifestyle." Or are we going to change our ways and say, "Yeah, that's right, this isn't good. This isn't the right way to live. This isn't the person I want to be. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. The Spirit alerted me. I want to follow what the Spirit says." Jezebel said, "No, I refuse." However, if you look back at Kings, back to the story of Ahab, and he was described as the worst, no one like Ahab. Chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. Indeed, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord, urged on by his wife Jezebel. They were in cahoots. He was supported by his wife, and yet it was on his shoulders. No one like Ahab who sold himself. Let that sink in, and maybe you're feeling a little bit of that. I am guilty in this. However, keep going. He acted most abominably in going after idols, as the Amorites had done, whom the Lord drove out before Israel. When Ahab heard these words, look at this. His knee-jerk reaction was not the same as Jezebel's. When Jezebel said, oh, Elijah, you just wait, I'm going to get you. You are going to die like the other prophets died. No. Hear the knee-jerk reaction of Ahab, the worst one ever, who sold himself. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth over his bare flesh. He fasted, lay in the sackcloth, and went about dejectedly. His reaction, his response to the invitation of God was to humble himself. Ahab, the worst one ever, humbled himself, and the Lord noticed. The Lord saw. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? God sees. God gives us time to repent, longs for our repentance. This is not just by the way. This is the most important thing in your life. The Spirit says to the churches, I know, I've seen your love, your faithful endurance. I've seen this. And for those of you who have not fallen down to idols, I want you to continue to be strong. Verse 25 of Revelation, only hold fast to what you have until I come. Hold fast until I come. I'm giving you time to repent. Turn back, humble yourselves. The choice is yours. It doesn't have to be a knee-jerk reaction. Think about it, repent. The Spirit of God gives us time.
Thank you, Lois. And she has urged us to reevaluate our choices this week, so we have lots to think about. Let us turn now to hymn number 523 in your hymn books, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. And we are going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. 1, 2, 4, and 5. Please stand.
Lord, in your hearts I serve as fire.
Please bow for the benediction. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he not leave us or abandon us, but incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, which he commanded our ancestors. Let these words which I pleaded before the Lord be near to the Lord our God day and night, and may he maintain the cause of his servants and the cause of his people as each day requires. Amen.
We have up on the screen hymn number 849. We, your people, sing your praises. We'll wait just till it's up. And if you may maybe have a hymn book, it's 849. Voices together.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.